foyer and says, "He is risen up on the wall." I saw a lot of families after the first service taking advantage of that. So if you want a great Easter picture with your family, you'll want to go out there and do that. Let's pray. We're going to sing this next song, and we have a baptism today. Isn't that awesome? So, we're excited about that. We sure are. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you that when they arrived at the tomb, they were told, "He is not here. He is risen." And so we praise the risen Lord and Savior that you are. And I pray today that we would all make sure that we're where you want us to be in our walks, that we know you as our Lord and Savior, we're following you as best we can, and we strive to worship you, serve you, and live for you in all we do. Thank you for this time that we can praise you on this Easter morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing House of the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Today, and we're very excited about that. I met with Dylan yesterday, and she wanted to tell me about when she received Christ as her Lord and Savior, and that she wanted to be baptized today by her grandpa. And but also, Grady, Chelsea, and Cody Underwood are going to be uniting with our church by letter from Woodland Heights. If you're in favor of that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Myron, go for it.
Dylan, we're so glad. So glad that she decided to do this today. It's a special day.
That's right.
It is for me. Dylan, you're going to serve with Christ the rest of your life?
Yes, sir.
I baptize you in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
would ask that you stand one more time. We're going to sing this morning, "Because He Lives." Amen. I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. Let's sing together. One, two, three, four.
We can face tomorrows. Every situation, every circumstance, we can have victory because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you not be risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. But the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of you, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before the sermon, and somebody can hit those two lights, if you would, just the two. And we have a video we'd like for you to watch.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father. Left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
That is a pretty well-known rendition by an African-American pastor, S.M. Lockridge. I actually had one of our members after the first service tell me when he heard S.M. Lockridge preach. In person, I've heard, I'll date myself here a little, I've heard several cassette tapes. Some of y'all don't know what those are, but I've heard him preach through that venue many times and always enjoyed it, but he got to hear him live. What a rendition. One theologian said, when Jesus said it is finished, the clock of counting days began. One, two, three. And then he was raised victorious. We're going to look at Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7 today. Mark 16, verses 6 and 7 for our text today. And I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Two verses here in Mark 16. Our sermon is entitled, He is Not Here. Now, we do have outlines in the bulletin in the back. If you want to grab one, go get them. Nobody's going to say a word, and you just make yourself feel free doing that. There's also some notepads in front of you. You can grab those if you're a note taker and would like to do that. He is not here. Verse 6, but he said to them, do not be alarmed. I don't know about you, but sometimes the Word of God makes me smile. Because I almost want to go, really? The body's missing. And you're telling me to not be alarmed? But that's what he says. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Now, what I also love about this verse is they're looking for him. Amen? Now, I know they're looking for a dead Jesus, but they're looking for the body, and they're searching for him and looking for him. So I just got to ask us before we go to the next verse, are you really looking for him today? Are you desiring to see him and hear from him and know him? Verse 7 says this, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. You may be seated. I love that basically what he's saying in that verse, he's going to Galilee as he already told you before in Mark 14. Now in 16, he is raised from the dead, and he says, go there and you will meet him. So here's some more great advice. Number one was, are you looking for him? You ought to be looking for him. He's worth looking for. But secondly, are you going to go where he is and meet him there? See, a lot of Christianity in America today is about, I'm going to do this and I sure hope God will join me. That is not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity, Jesus said, listen, if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself daily, take up your cross and follow me. We don't ask him to follow us. He asks us to follow him. So here's this promise that is coming to reality now. Boy, they're looking for answers, don't you think? They are really wondering what's going on. They're still trying to make sense of everything that has happened in just a very short span of time. I think their heads are spinning, don't you? Matter of fact, in that video, I just love that blank stare on I'm sure it's John, the one that I'm thinking of. And as he just looks at that situation, I bet his mind's going back about 3.5 years, and he's like, this is not what I had pictured. This is not how I thought this would turn out. Can I tell you what's going on? They're confused. They are afraid. And they're very uncertain of what their future is going to look like and be. On March 31st, about 9 days ago, I do my soap readings. And by the way, the soap readings in the bulletin today for this week are all on the resurrection, every single one of them. And I do my soap. But then I have a couple other things that I do, devotionals or whatever. There's one I do every single day. And on March 31st, this was my devotional. And Jesus said to them, all of you will run away because it is written, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Verse 28 says, but after I have been resurrected, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. What a great promise. So chapter 16, we're seeing the reality of chapter 14, what he says is going to happen. When I'm resurrected, I'm going to go ahead of you. Little did I know, on that Friday, March 31st, Shelby and I would be approaching Little Rock when a devastating tornado hit Little Rock, Sherwood, where Shelby grew up. We drove through the old neighborhood. A house that she lived in as a little girl was one of the hardest hit areas that we saw while we were there. And we have a house there in Little Rock, and as we were driving down the street, we were thinking, what are we going to do if it's not there? I mean, if all there is a foundation left, what are we going to do? And we were even talking about it. Fortunately for us, our little area was fine, but you top the hill and it's total, absolute devastation. And Shelby and I helped with feeding people and workers and doing different things and helping different churches most of the week. But can I tell you, little did I know I was going to face that later that day with that promise, but that doesn't even compare to what was happening on the Friday we just talked about. It's not even close. It's not at all in the same league as what is going on with Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, the rest, and then the crucifixion. And here's what Jesus is trying to do with his disciples. He's trying to let them know what's about to happen. He's trying to prepare them for the darkest moment, most cataclysmic event in history, his death. You know what I love about that passage? I'm going to go before you. So in other words, can I tell you what Jesus is saying? You're not going to have to do this alone. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there waiting on you. Did you know he always goes before us? He always precedes us into every situation we face. I don't know how to tell you this, but God was doing time travel long before Back to the Future ever hit the movie theaters. Now you say, why would you be thinking of Back to the Future? Shelby and I watched an interview of Michael, whatever his name is, huh? Huh? Fox! I was about to go, we're not talking about a news station here. Come on. It is Michael J. Fox, thank you. And we were watching an interview on that. And I was watching and I was thinking, man, I love those movies. I did. I thought they were so cool. And I stayed so confused in the midst of them. But I'm glad I serve a God that's never confused. He goes before us. He's there waiting on us. He precedes us. He's never caught by surprise. He's already been there. Amen? So here's three things out of that verse right there that I thought about. First of all, he goes before us, doesn't he? He goes before us. You are not God's advanced troops paving the way for him to report back to him what's going on. No. God is already there. And God is already aware, and he goes before us. And if you forget that, you're going to fall into the temptation that the Israelites did, and they're going to, when you say, we can't go in there, there's giants in the land. He goes before us, but I love this. He stands beside us. Not only is he in front of us, but he's right there beside us. Isn't it awesome to know you're never alone? Never. Never alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff are with me. Whatever situation we're going through, he's before us, he's beside us, and I love this, he is always behind us. Has anybody ever said this to you? Hey, got your back. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But this is God. God's saying, I've got your back. I'm going to show you that in some verses here in just a moment. But I just love this truth. He provides the protection and the comfort that we need. He meets our every need. And watch, he knows exactly what we do need. Any of y'all ever have a child crawl up in your lap and you said this, what do you need? And they tell you, and you laugh, because that ain't what they need. And you know it's not what you need. I told the first service, when our son, our youngest was 14, he walks up to me and goes, Dad, I want to help you out. Now, when that boy ever said that, you just needed to watch yourself. I said, okay, how are you going to help me out? Well, I don't want you under pressure concerned about what car you want to buy me when I turn 16. So I thought I'd just go ahead and tell you now. oh, son, thank you. But no, that ain't happening, you know. And some people are like, oh, yeah, he was just teasing. He might have been teasing, but he was making sure he let me know what his expectations were when he turned 16. Parents, those of you that have 15 years old here, you can thank me at the back for that illustration that they might use against you. But, man, Jesus, he knows the difference between what we want and what we really need. He knew his disciples were totally bewildered. He knew they would be shocked and in a daze because of the crucifixion. So what he's doing is he's reminding them that no matter what they go through, no matter what happens, no matter where they end up, no matter what they might face in the future, they could be confident that he was before them, beside them, and behind them. That he had them and he knew what was going on. If you're going through a difficult time right now, maybe a very confusing time, I want you to know he's with you every step of the way. He's fully aware of what you're facing. He is actively responding to your needs. He's with you. Man, I've never gone this path before. He has. I don't know what to do in this situation. He does. I hope this turns out okay. Rest, relax, and trust him in that moment. Here's a great truth. There's not anywhere you can go that you will not find Christ waiting for you to join him. Whatever that is, whatever the situation, whatever you're facing. And that's what Jesus was doing with the disciples. He was leading them into the darkest moments of their life. Ever been there? Man, I've had a few dark moments. How about you? A couple of them, I can remember them like they're yesterday. When I knew my dad's time had come, and his doctor was a colonel. I didn't tell this first service, but you just had to know my dad was an old sergeant. And one of his favorite quotes was, he never knew a person that being an officer couldn't ruin. Now, if you're an officer, I apologize. But when I found out that she was a colonel, and the banter the two of them had was beautiful, watching it. Matter of fact, she said, Sarge, because he was a technical instructor in boot camp in the Air Force. And he said, did you ever have any women? Oh, no, geez. Did we really have to go there with my dad? I mean, he was old school. My dad goes, no. And I kind of wiped my brow, and then he went, thank God. And when I walked outside with that colonel, I said, I am so sorry. She goes, you don't think I've talked to an old sergeant like that before? That's old school. And I said, okay. But when she told me, oh, he might have 48 hours. And I'll never forget what she did. Shelby and the kids hadn't been able to make it down there yet. She reached over and patted me on the leg. You going to be okay? You know what? I'd never navigated those waters before. Some of you have. We've navigated some dark moments together, haven't we? I remember a Sunday morning, Miss D over here in the hospital, D. Iyer. And I said, Shelby, let's go get some lunch. She goes, Larry, I really think we need to go see D. I said, well, we will. Let's go get some lunch. And she said, no, I think we need to go now. I said, okay. We go and we walk in, and they're all crying because Miss D's stepping into eternity. And because of Shelby's sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, we were able to pray with them and be there with them as she graduated to heaven. Now, can I tell you, my dad's passing and Dee's passing, Do not compare to what Jesus went through on the cross of Calvary. And he's trying to prepare them. He's trying to tell them there's about to be a very, very dark moment in your life. But no matter what you're going through, Jesus is waiting for you right there. Whether you're going into the Garden of Gethsemane for some tumultuous time of prayer, whether you're going to a cross of sacrifice, excruciating pain and loss, or whether you're standing at the door of the tomb where that loved one has graduated out of this world and there's that brokenness and that heart and that longing. You remember what Jesus said? He said, the hour's come. In other words, this is God's perfect timing. And he's saying, relax and trust him in that moment. Surrender to him. That's what he's telling the disciple. You're not going to understand it all. You're going to have doubts. You're going to wonder what's going on. You're going to be bewildered. You're going to be confused. But hear me. After I'm resurrected, I'm going to go into Galilee before you. There is a union with God through trials that I believe can happen no other way. I wanted to take the time to really get into pain and suffering and what it can do in our life and how pain and suffering is actually a gift from God to cause us to draw nearer to Him. And let me explain why this is true. There is an undiluted contact with God that strips us of everything when we're going through life's darkest moments. It has a way of building an even more intimate and close relationship with Him. Church, stay with Him. Believer, don't quit. Walk through that trial. Go through that vow. You know why? There's some lessons in the trials that we can learn no other way. No other way. We have to experience them. That's where we really get to know Him and find out who He is. Look at this verse. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. That word still appears in several versions a little different. So let me give you two other words for the word still. It really means the same. Silence or rest. Be still in His presence. Be silent. Listen. Not to everything you're telling God to do, but maybe what God's saying to you. Rest in Him. Let me go back to the verse. Wait patiently for Him to act. Y'all do know that's one of my greatest traits. Patience. Why are you laughing? Because you know it's not true. But it's interesting what patience there is actually talking about. It means you're waiting also expectantly. Now, waiting on God means, God, I'm not going to move until you answer. But God, I'm expecting you to answer. And when you do answer, God, I'm going to go. So in Mark 16, when he says he's going to Galilee, he's going to be waiting for you there, they're like, now we should know what to do. I'm not saying they did because they were still a little clueless, but he's saying, I've answered what I told you I was telling you to do. Come meet me there. Look at this next verse. You have enclosed me before and behind and laid your hand upon me. I like that. Enclosed me before and behind. He has hemmed you in. Don't you love that? I do. I've got Him everywhere around me. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He has me. I mean, there are beautiful analogies and pictures of Him, of us being in His hand. And what does He say in the book of John? And nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand. There's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament of being under His wing. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's comfort and God's care? He has us hemmed in behind and before. So here's the message I want you to get today. There will always be losses in your life. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be trials. There are going to be struggles. There's going to be some tornadoes in your life, some earthquakes. Not just literally physically, spiritually, emotionally, challenges. Do you realize Job lost everything in one day? Some of you go, why would you go to Job? Because as soon as we saw the devastation there in Little Rock and our family was split up during that tornado, Benjamin went to get the two oldest kids. The school said, hey, all you parents need to get in here. It's hitting now. And here's Kimmy at home with the two smaller kids, and they're not being able to communicate, not knowing where the other was. And I got to thinking, gosh, it sure seems to me that Job lost his kids because of a mighty wind. It's right there in Job chapter 1. Do you realize it was 10 children that died? Talk about a storm, trial, challenge. In one day, he lost his wealth, he lost his family, and he lost his health. One day. Most of us are not going to suffer that kind of cataclysmic type of loss in a day. Most of us will never see that kind of a thing happen. I'm not saying it never will, but most do not. But I also want you to realize, while most of us will experience losses more spread out over life, they happen more slowly. But they happen. They do. Let me tell you a few of them. Unexpectedly, a member of your family passes away. You headed off to work, and everything changed. I can think of several families sitting here that happened to. A friend or a family member, you find out, has chosen to take their own life because they've listened to the lies of the devil. Your spouse has an adulterous affair. Therefore, your world is rocked. The doubts, the fears, the feelings of inadequacy. You're so challenged. What about you're diagnosed with cancer? Miranda, are you in here? There you are. Can we pray for you? Well, I want to do that right now. Miranda, how long has Anthony been battling cancer? You know, in the first service I mentioned, I thought it was a couple years. Miranda has been diagnosed also. And you have surgery end of April? April 24th. And she shared something with Shelby I just loved. And Miranda, if you didn't want me to share this, forgive me later, okay? Because I'm not stopping right now. But she shared with us how thankful she was that they found this church. Was that at the beginning of the 2 years or kind of after it had already started with Anthony, with his cancer? I thought so. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Came into the parking lot. We were having a meeting here, and Dale had asked me if we'd go out in the parking lot. And he couldn't even get out of the truck that night. I think he was going through chemo at that time, and I might have that part wrong, but he was pretty sick that night, and we went out to the truck. And now she's diagnosed with cancer. Can we stop and pray for them? Father, I just thank you that we can walk this road with them and be there and be an encouragement and be a help and be a blessing to them. We continue to lift Anthony up to you and ask you, God, to have your hand upon him and heal him and guide him and direct him and be with him and strengthen him. God, you are the great physician. I'm not going to say you're going to heal him, but I know you can and you are able. So, Father, we submit to your will. And now we lift Miranda up and our hearts break for her and hard for some of us to imagine. But I'm thankful you're going before her, you're beside her, and you're behind her. And I pray that we as a church body would walk every step of the way there to love, to encourage, to help, do whatever we can, but that we'd be faithful to lift the Maldonado family up daily in our prayers. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your company downsizes, and after 30 years of hard work, you're told your services are no longer needed. You have a child born with a tumor, which, by the way, that baby was in the first service, Pierce. He's doing wonderfully well right now. But I wonder what it was like when the doctors first told those parents. Size of a baseball, am I remembering right? Isn't that what I was told? And that young man that had to come out. You struggle to have children, but yet you're faced with infertility or miscarriages. After 20 years of marriage, you're not sure exactly what happened, but now you're divorced, single again, and don't know where to go, what to do, or who to turn to. Maybe your storm or your challenge is you find out that your church isn't as perfect as you thought it was. That shouldn't have taken you real long. I'm just saying. Shouldn't have taken you real long. But to be honest, you've been disappointed. You feel let down. You're kind of bewildered. And to be honest, some people in the church have even kind of shocked you how they've acted on certain things. Listen to me. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's Jesus who is there waiting for you to join him there. After the resurrection, I'm going to Galilee. Join me there. So let me sum it up. Jesus is simply saying, yes, there's going to be a crucifixion. Yes, it's going to be awful. Yes, the Father who sent me here is going to turn his back on me when I become sin for you. Yep, skies are going to turn black and the earth is going to shake. And yes, I will die. Please hear me. Not pass out. Not faint. Not lose consciousness for a moment. The blessed Lamb of God died for you. For me. But then he says, but after the resurrection, I'm going to be waiting for you in Galilee. I want you to join me there. I want you to get on board. So I just want to ask you, are you looking for him this morning? He might not be where you're looking for him at. You need to look for him where he's at and what he's doing and where he's working. And not ask him to join what you're doing, but ask if you can join him where he is. In Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby said this, we don't choose what we'll do for God. He invites us to join him where he wants to involve us. So this morning, they show up at the tomb. He's not here. Here's the most important question today, though. Is he here in your life? Christ in you, the hope of glory? Has there been a time you've placed your faith and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior? To not just go to heaven, but that you want to live for Him, serve Him, and you want Him to be Lord of your life and follow Him and join Him wherever He guides you and leads you. Wait on Him. But then when He shows you, obediently follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. I thank You for this time. And I pray, Lord, that You just guide and lead hearts. Holy Spirit, would You just reach down and show each person exactly what we need to see? Thank You. Thank You for the resurrection. Thank You for this truth. You weren't through with these disciples who had failed You. You were just getting started. Later in the book of Acts, they literally are turning the world upside down because they joined You and they were committed. I just know Peter was saying, Lord, I know I denied You, but by Your grace and with Your help, I'm not going to deny You again. I know they ran away from the pain and the suffering and the crucifixion, but now they run towards Your will, whatever that is. So I pray, oh God, speak to our hearts and life. May we be obedient to what You impress us to do right now. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar is open. You may stand. Whatever you need to do, you can do it right where you are. If you'd like somebody to pray with you or chat with you, you may come as we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching.
Remind you, a beautiful area has been set up by some members out in the children's foyer. If you want to get a picture of your family dressed up or not dressed up, whatever, that's fine, but it's there, and we want to remind you that. We hope you have a great, wonderful day today. What a wonderful day to come and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful He's risen and He's alive? So I pray today, make sure He's alive in your life because you've made Him Lord and Savior by inviting Him in. If you want to know how to do that, see me or something. There's many of us around here who'd love to sit down with you. But if nothing else, go home, open up Romans chapter 10 and read down that chapter. And it'll tell you a lot about with the heart man believeth and with the mouth he confesseth. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless you. You're dismissed.